Welcome to Christ, Culture, and Cinema with the Dr. Jeffrey Skopak and his trusted assistant, Michael Popp, as they explore the intersection of faith, movies, and our contemporary context.
To Christ, Culture, and Cinema. How are you doing today, Michael?
Good. I'm good, but I'm looking forward to summer. We're getting close. Things are wrapping up. Field trip month. I'm ready to be done.
Yeah, you know, we've been struggling here at Christ, Culture, and Cinema with a little bit of technological challenges. Not really sure why. The Wi-Fi's been acting a little wonky at my end in Asheville. So this episode's going to be coming out just a little delayed. Little delayed. Not our normal drop time. So.
Yeah.
Don't know what to do about that, but we're going to try to get to the bottom of it. You know? We strive.
We don't want to be slow.
No. Want to be fast. And that's where we're going today, folks. We're going to Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, released August 4th, 2006. How in the world was this released 18 years ago? It is beyond me. This movie is on all the stinking time. Country Music Television plays it. E! Entertainment Television plays it. FXM Movie Network plays it. I think you could find this movie on your streaming or cable pretty much 5 or 6 times a week. It's incredible. And you and I, we both live in NASCAR country. You know, I'm here in Asheville, so just north of me is Bristol, Tennessee. Up there in Bristol, wow. I've driven by that racetrack. That bad boy is right on the road, just like Daytona, bound by you. You're driving through Daytona, and you're going, whoa, there's the Super Speedway. And let's not forget, there's a little track over there in Charlotte, which is only 98 miles due east of me in Asheville, out of the mountains. So we are in NASCAR country, my friend. And here's the joke. I don't watch NASCAR. Do you watch NASCAR?
I grew up at the dirt track, so I always thought, NASCAR was the easy one. You're on asphalt. You don't have all the power slides, easy going. Yeah. But it is pretty incredible, especially Bristol. When you go to Bristol and you get 43 cars and a half-mile track.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun.
It's a teeny little thing. I can tell you, it does not look big when you drive by it. You know, we have a daughter church right down the road from the racetrack, so... Something tells me on race Sunday, church is a little empty that day. I just kind of get that feel. But
if they ever need a guest preacher the same weekend as the race, let me know.
Well, I think I can arrange that. Now, here's the incredible thing. Number one, this is a Will Ferrell movie. So you know it's going to be over the top, ridiculous, stupid, funny. And the budget for this movie, you know, we go back to 2004-05 when they were making it. $72.5 million. That's a little bit of cash. I mean, that's not a small budget.
Now, you're talking about NASCAR. You know, you're talking about renting tracks, talking about race cars, but a lot of good actors.
Oh, for sure. And the box office surprised me. It did not do well for a movie that is on all the stinking time. $163.4 million. I would have expected a much bigger box office return, but this is clearly one of those movies that found its life in cable on streaming services. It didn't really find its life in the movie theater.
Yeah, I was surprised. Talking 72 million budget, plus I'm sure there's a chunk of advertising, made 47 opening weekend, so it's on its way. You know, we could have 300 or 400 million. Yeah, capped out U.S. Canada at 148 and only picked up another 15 worldwide. Well, so nobody cares about NASCAR outside of our
borders. I would. That doesn't surprise me. This is definitely, apple pie, wave the American flag, drink your Budweiser kind of movie. I just, that's my feel. Now, the director it was co-directed. You had Will Ferrell, but really the director, in my opinion, is Adam McKay, who for the first part of his career is joined at the hip with Will Ferrell. So, you know, the Anchorman movies, both 1 and 2, brilliant, hilarious. Step Brothers, oh my Lord. We haven't done Step Brothers yet, which I kind of find amazing, but let's face it, there's the sanitized version on the streaming services, and then there's the real version. The Campaign, another Will Ferrell over-the-top movie. Get Hard, another Will Ferrell movie. And then Adam McKay makes a jump. He lands in the MCU with Ant-Man. And that's a big deal, because Ant-Man did incredibly well. It's kind of in that MCU bandwidth, like Guardians of the Galaxy. All of a sudden, people went, hey, this is really good. But they weren't super popular comic book characters.
I think that's as a producer, right? I didn't see for directing credits. I didn't see that. I think he became, he's produced over 100 movies, but he's only directed 27. So this is definitely his early directing and stuff like Anchorman and kind of pushed him into more
big-time production. Take a look. The other big movies he's done, and we've covered two of them on this, The Big Short, Vice, and Don't Look Up. Don't Look Up was a great streaming movie with Leo DiCaprio. So he's really big time. And here he is doing a parody of the NASCAR world. Let's jump into the cast, because the cast is incredible. I'm just, you start looking at who's in this movie, you're going, dear Lord, this is a big cast. This is a good cast. It starts with Will Ferrell playing Ricky Bobby. And you got to love it. The fact that the main character has two first names. I just love that. He's Ricky Bobby. And Will Ferrell has been in, let's face it, Elf, we've done it. Anchorman, we've done it. Barbie, we've done it. Blades of Glory, we've done it. Now, here's some movies that I think we need to look at. Eurovision, which is a really good movie. It's a streaming movie, excellent movie. I enjoyed it a great deal. We've talked about Zoolander. We haven't done Zoolander yet. We need to do Zoolander. It's a great movie. Still one of the funniest ones, and I will stop and watch it all the time. He's not the main character. He's Frank the Tank in Old School. Love.
So
it's a great character.
Movie. I know I still need to see Spirited, but Barbie, he's done some newer ones that are good. But did you see one of the pre-production movies that's out there to be done that Will Ferrell's going to portray?
No, what's he in?
Madden. He's going to play John Madden and talk about how when Madden was forced into retirement by the Raiders, how he revolutionized video games. And yeah, it
really,
really interesting. Really? I think that'll be a fun one. I hope it will.
I think that would be fun. Although I would tell you, the movie he needs to make for all Chicago Cub fans is Harry Carey. He needs to make a Harry Carey.
He would be good at that.
Because his Harry Carey is some of the funniest stuff you're ever going to see.
His drunk Harry Carey. I don't know if he could do Harry. I don't know. Yeah. We'd have to see.
I don't think there is such a thing as a That's sober
true. That's probably
Harry
true.
Carey.
Touche.
Now joined at the hip with Will Ferrell in this movie, Ricky Bobby's partner in crime is Cal Naughton. And Cal Naughton's played by John C. Reilly. Love John C. Reilly. But, I started to look at the diversity of the movies this guy has been in. And just now we keep saying we're going to do it. The Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. We're going to do that movie. But Step Brothers, over the top comedy. Chicago, a musical. Kong, Skull Island, fantasy adventure. Boogie Nights, I think he was with Mark Wahlberg in that one. Oh, by the way, he was in the more serious NASCAR movie, Days of Thunder, with Tom Cruise. He was in a Scorsese film, Gangs of New York, a brilliant movie, The Perfect Storm, another Academy Award type movie, Aviator, the story of Howard Hughes. Oh, he has a bit role in Guardians of the Galaxy. This guy checks every genre of movie. Everyone.
When he get into those gang ones, Gangs in New York and Hoffa. And he had a couple baseball ones with For the Love of the Game and Never Been Kissed. He is all over, but Tenacious D, we won't even go there. But he certainly has shown both sides of his acting chops. But the greatest character he's ever portrayed was Ralph in Ralph.
Yes. Yes,
great
indeed.
Animated movie, and he's done it all. So,
yeah, he's done everything. He checks every box. He may be one of the finest actors that nobody talks about in the category of fine actors, because he can do everything. The guy's a chameleon. Now, playing Ricky Bobby's first wife, Carly Bobby. Carly Bobby, she's the one who flashes him on the track when he's finally made it as a race car driver, played by Leslie Bibb. And does it surprise you? She was in the Howard Stern biopic piece, Private Parts.
It's a funny movie.
About my father, Palm Royale, law-abiding citizen. Oh, by the way, she's in both Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2.
Oh, yeah.
Confessions of a Shopaholic, and a movie I know you like, Tag
was fun.
She was in Tag.
Yeah, she did a good job with that one. Yeah, she's been in a lot of interesting movies. Movies not gonna necessarily watch with the family either, but I've never saw Risk Cutters, A Love Story. She was in an episode of Nip Tuck. I mean, she's done a lot of Sex and Death 101. Pass. You know, there's some interesting credits she has, but she's funny. She does a good job. She's in a lot of things because she's a good actress.
Yeah, exactly. Now, playing the publicist for NASCAR, who will become Ricky Bobby's love interest at the end of the movie, Susan, played by the incredible, the immeasurable Amy Adams. And we love her. We remember her for her little bit role for a while in The Office, but Enchanted, American Hustle. She becomes Lois Lane in Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, Justice League. She's very good as Lois Lane in all of those. Let's not forget, she's in Night at the Museum and the Battle of the Smithsonian, Night of the Museum movie. And she's brilliant in those. And oh, by the way, Adam McKay likes her because she's also in Vice and Don't Look Up.
Yeah, the Tenacious D one, Catch Me If You Can, Charlie Wilson's War. She's also been in some great movies. My favorite was her with Clint Eastwood, Trouble with the Curve, when she played Mickey, his daughter. Watch that all the time. That's a good one.
That's a good movie, too. I like that one. Now,
have you seen the Dear Evan Hansen movie? I saw it on Broadway. I don't know if I've seen the movie, but I saw she's in Dear Evan Hansen, too. I'd like to see that.
No, I have not. Okay. Well, we'll have to check that one out. Now, playing Reese Bobby. This is Ricky Bobby's no good, walked out on him father. And Reese Bobby is played by Gary Cole. You know, and it made me pause. Where, again, I want you to consider the diversity of roles he's played. He plays really that straight man in Office Space, where he's like, I need those TPC reports. Get those to me by the end of the day. But wait a minute. He is the commentator on ESPN Ocho in the movie Dodgeball.
Cotton.
I mean, come on.
He plays Cotton.
Cotton.
I say it all the time because one of my favorite lines when somebody does something, it's a bold move, Cotton.
Bold move, Cotton. Bold move. I love that.
Of course,
he's in the movie Tammy, which, by the way, is an excellent movie. We may want to consider doing that one down the road.
Well,
that's a good movie.
We're gonna have to do
this he also plays Mike Brady in the Brady Bunch movie and its sequel.
Homeboy.
You know, there's another unique role. He's in the Pineapple Express. He's in Suits, the television show Suits, television show Veep, television show Entourage. Man, this guy's all over the place.
He is. He has certainly been. I mean, 200 credits.
Yeah,
you got over 200 credits. You know, you have done a lot of things, and some of them are one episodes of a show. I mean, he has that kind of thing going, but he has been doing it for a very long time. He has shown that he can do comedy, he can do serious, he can be whatever you want him to be. I go all the way back. Remember Lucas with Charlie Sheen?
Oh my gosh. That's
he
way
played
back.
The assistant coach back then. You know, I mean, he has done a lot in The Line of Fire.
Oh yeah. We like that. It's another great movie. Well, we throw that out there, and Clint Eastwood is what, 93 years old now? A little dated, shall we say. Now, playing Lucy Bobby. This is Ricky Bobby's mama, and Ricky Bobby's mama who's gonna make his two boys get straight, gonna straighten up, you know, Walker and Texas Ranger. I love this. Lucy Bobby is played by Jane Lynch. Right now, you can't turn on TV without seeing Jane Lynch because she's now like game show host on NBC, I think it is. But we know her from Glee. You mentioned it earlier, Wreck-It Ralph. She's in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Right now, we've got to watch her in Only Murders in the Building. She's in the Go Back.
The Stuntman for Steve Martin.
For Steve Martin. Yeah. They just killed her off. She was in The Fugitive. Go way, way back. And of course, she has a brilliant role, and you've yet to watch it, in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I saw that coming.
Oh, love Maisel. How have you not watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel? I may go back and watch it again. It was so good.
Hey, some of us, we have to work real hard since we don't know Greek or Hebrew. We have to work a little harder than
that. Well, that's true, because you are a lesser pastor, according to some.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yes.
I have to work a little harder.
I actually had to use my the other day. A member asked me a question after a sermon, and I went to my office and I pulled out my Greek New Testament and was able to show the individual that it was the same word used throughout the text. She was very impressed. Now, thank God it was an easy word and I didn't have to think that hard.
You know what I tell people? Ask Pastor Jeff.
I don't know. Call, email Skopak. Now playing Jean Girard, the nemesis, the French Formula One driver who has come to America to be the very best. To be defeated by Ricky Bobby.
The first scene in the bar is brilliant. It's like, oh my gosh, why did they bring him in? This is great.
Oh my gosh, he's so funny. Now, Jean Girard is played by Sacha Baron Cohen. And, you know, people know him from Borat, The Dictator, Bruno. But let's not forget, he was in Madagascar. He's in Les Mis. He's in Alice Through the Looking Glass. He's a voice in Luca. We did Luca. We love Luca. Luca is a great Disney movie, folks. Go check that one out. Let's not forget, he's in Django Unchained. Oh, and Anchorman 2.
Yeah, of course, I had to fit him in. I was surprised he only has 42 credits.
Yes, no.
I figured it'd be more, but he's made a name for himself, and he doesn't do everything. He does what he wants.
No, he picks and chooses and does so well. Now, I've only picked a handful of others here. Let's just kind of pepper this. One is Lucius. Lucius is the pit crew chief, played by the late Michael Clark. What a great actor. You know, everybody will always remember him. I think for all the roles he's done, he will always be remembered for the Green Mile. He's incredible.
I loved him. Coffee. He was incredible.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite movies of all time is Armageddon.
Oh yeah.
And he played Bear in Armageddon. That scene where they're getting their checkup with the doctors. Yeah. He rips off his skirt and starts posing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. ever laughed so hard watching a guy in a bikini. It was
Well,
so
let me
funny.
tell you, by the way, he's really good in Dwayne Johnson's kind of Welcome to Hollywood role movie, The Scorpion King. He's really good in that. That's a fun movie, by the way. The Scorpion King is hokey, but it's good hokey. He's a
Right.
redeemable character in Daredevil because he's Kingpin. He's really good as Kingpin in Daredevil. And God help us, he did make one ill-fated decision. He was in the Green Lantern. I am threatening it. I believe Green Lantern is going to be on the docket soon. We need to do it.
We do Christmas movies, we do theme movies around certain sporting events. I think we could throw in a dumb movie once in a while, like worst movies ever made. I
I
think
think
that's
we can
fair.
do it. It keeps
We could do
coming
that.
up. It's like, how many people read that script, said, I'm going to make this movie? And then when they made the movie,
Then
they're like, why did I make this movie? That's how bad it is.
I'm gonna have to watch it then because I haven't seen
Oh,
like Speed 2 at least I've
it's
watched,
so
but
bad.
Green
It's so
Channel.
bad. You watch Ryan Reynolds as Daredevil, and then you watch him as the Green Lantern, and you go, oh, dear Lord, what were you thinking? Clearly, you were drinking your aviator gin at the time because it's that bad. Oh,
That
we
bad, yeah.
digress. Now, playing Larry Dennett Jr., who is the owner of Ricky Bobby's NASCAR team, his father dies, he inherits it. It's Greg Gorman. And, here's a guy, again, he's in Get Hard with Will Ferrell, but really big television. Old Ally McBeal, Grey's Anatomy throughout that. And here's a
Oh,
little
yeah.
movie I totally forgot about. So I Married an Axe Murderer. It's a comedy.
Jeez. Is
It
that
is a
Mike
Mike
Myers?
Myers. It was Mike Myers' like first or second movie coming off of Saturday Night Live.
That
Yeah.
wasn't a good one.
Wasn't a good one. And then playing Mrs. Dennett is Molly Shannon, who, of course, we know from Saturday Night Live, but she's in the movie A Night at the Roxbury, Superstar, Never Been Kissed. She was in the Santa Claus 2, Evan Almighty, and Bad Teacher, little movie we did here on Christ Culture and Cinema. That was on
Plus a
the
good
other
drunk.
night, by the way. I paused. I had to watch it. Great movie. I'll go back. I love Bad Teacher. I think that is a fun, stupid movie. That's a good one. Well, let's jump into Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby. Oh, you have someone else?
It's worth mentioning because in 2006, to play the gay husband, Andy Richter was hilarious. I'm sorry.
Oh,
We
Andy
gotta give
Richter, that's true.
it. So old choice in 2006. I mean, nowadays nobody'd
Right.
care, but 2006, that was a bold move
Well,
coming.
let me give you one other then, since you're going to bring up Andy Richter as Jean Girard's husband Gregory. This is my husband Gregory. Gregory. Well, when Ricky Bobby goes to his house and they're having a tea party, and Ricky Bobby goes, is that Elvis Costello? That's Elvis Costello. And he has Elvis Costello sitting at the table. Oh my word. It may be Elvis Costello's like one or two movie credits. That's it. I don't know. We have to look that up.
We did get some NASCAR announcers and fans, Dale Earnhardt
Oh yeah.
Jr., Darrell Walsh. You know, there's Rob Riggle gets a shout out. So there's a lot of good. Again, we can't go
No,
through all of them, but it
no, but
was awesome. But I had to give Andy Richter props for it's a
and
bold choice.
quite honestly, Elvis Costello, one of the finest musicians of my youth, there he is at the tea party at Jean Girard's house. So worth mentioning.
Jean
So
Girard,
let's talk about the movie.
right.
The premise of Ricky Bobby is this. He's always wanted to go fast. That's what he's always wanted to do. The movie opens up, shows his mom going into a convenience store, and Ricky figures out using a 2x4 and sitting in the car how to drive the car. He steals the station wagon while mom's in the store buying milk as he's flying down the road going, woo-hoo, I want to go fast. Well, the reason that it's he and his mom is his no-good daddy, Reese Bobby, had walked out on the family. So Ricky Ricky's always dreaming of what his daddy is like, but he has echoing in his head this one line his father said to him before he walked out. He said, "Son, if you're not first, you're last." So he has always dreamed of racing in NASCAR, being the very best, and his very best friend in the world, Cal Naughton, has that same dream with him. They share that dream. And they find their way onto, and I love the name of the race car, the sponsor of the race car that they're on the pit crew for, Laughing Clown Malt Liquor. You can't make that one up. And the driver is terrible. Nope. The team is terrible. And in a NASCAR race, the driver pulls in. He's like, "I got to go to the bathroom." And he gets out of the car. And he's like, "Who's going to drive the car?" At that moment, the owner fires the driver and he says, who wants to go fast? And Ricky Bobby goes, "I want to go fast." And he gets in the car and he goes from last, and he races all the way up the leaderboard. He doesn't win the race, but he comes pretty darn close from the last position. Well, all of a sudden, Ricky Bobby's career is taken off. And in that moment, he meets Carly, who's a groupie at the track, who he marries. And now they have an opening with their partner's car, which is going to be sponsored by Old Spice. I love that, too, the Old Spice car. And they need another driver, Cal Naughton. Now Ricky Bobby's sponsor is no longer Laughing Clown Malt Liquor, but Wonder Bread. And it's the Wonder Bread car. Mm-hmm. And the Old Spice car, and they have a little thing they do together. It's kind of a slingshot move called shake and bake. And what they do is Cal basically blocks the one car so that Ricky can downdraft and then slingshot around him coming out of the curve to go into first place. And they're coming in first and second every race. All of a sudden, they got all these sponsors. But what we learn is that Ricky Bobby has never had that fatherly influence in his life. He's a terrible father. He and Carly have two kids that they name Walker and Texas Ranger, and they're brats. They're mean to their old mangy grandfather. I love that. They're just mean to Carly's dad. They're eating junk. Whatever sponsor they have, that's what they're eating and drinking. So they're drinking at dinner Powerade, and they have the delectable Taco Bell on the table. He's terrible. He's a terrible parent, terrible father. Carly's a terrible mother. The grandfather recognizes it. And this is where Ricky Bobby is at. No fatherly influence in his life. Ergo, he is not necessarily a man of great integrity. He's just a man who knows he wants to win and go fast. Do you want to add anything to that, Michael?
Yeah, this is where, as we get into this movie, I know you love this movie, but that scene at the dinner table bothers me so much. I wanted to smack both those kids so bad. Well, the way they talk to Grandpa and the way they're acting, and to watch Ricky Bobby support it. That's the way he wants his boys. It was like, oh my goodness. Is this where everything turned around? Is this where teaching got hard? Is this what everybody is looking as their influence now? Because it is it reminded me of watching those movies where it's cringeworthy. It's funny, well, and it was cringeworthy.
It starts
at the same
with their goofy prayer. "Oh dear sweet baby Jesus, playing with your little baby Einstein." It's funny.
That's funny.
But it's dumb. You're kind of scratching your head going, here's his two kids sitting at the table. Yeah, there's this sense of faith, but it's an immature, underdeveloped lack of spiritual, care and maturity for one's family. And as you say, when they're jumping on their grandfather and being nasty and he's endorsing this, it's a total lack of, kind of that fourth commandment understanding, right? It's this total lack of honoring father and mother, honoring your elders. And his life is, but he thinks everything's good because he's got money. He's got the house. He's got the race wins. He's got his buddy Cal sitting at the table. He's got my smoking hot wife, Carly. I mean, he's got it all, right? That's what he thinks he's got.
I will give the shout out, since I brought up to Lucy Bobby. She was so great.
We're gonna get
grandma.
The grandma.
Gonna straighten those boys out.
I thought we're gonna get the grandma. Because what happens is in the next race, now Jean Girard, he comes for Ricky Bobby because he needs someone to beat him so he can retire. And he goes, you want to lose to me? He goes, no, I want you to beat me. Yeah, he needs somebody to beat him. It's this competitive edge. And what happens is in that race, Ricky Bobby flips and he thinks he's on fire. He kind of goes cuckoo loco. On the track, he's peeling off his suit. He's not on fire. It's a great scene. Will Farrell running around in his underwear with a race car helmet on a super speedway track is pretty funny stuff. But his career becomes unraveled at that moment. He ends up in the hospital. There's nothing physically wrong with him. It's great when Lucius stabs him when he stabs himself in the leg with a fork and he realizes that he isn't paralyzed and all that. But he's lost his edge in driving. Carly leaves him for Cal Naughton Jr. And oh, by the way, at their wedding, they had a nacho fountain of three different kinds of nacho cheese coming down the fountain. Brilliant. Thought that was hilarious. I love when there's Cal in Ricky's house. And what did they do? They took a picture of Cal's face and put it over Ricky's face in the family portrait over the fireplace. And there's Ricky. His career is gone. His sponsor is gone, and all he has left are the two kids, because Carly basically dumps the kids on Ricky Bobby, and he's living with his mom, Lucy.
Right.
And the first thing Lucy does is she straightens up those boys. They mouth off, and she gives them one right upside the head.
That's where I was going to go with the quote. It was the one where she has him out on the road doing roadside pickup, and Texas Rangers are like, when are we going to stop doing this, Grandma? Lucy goes, well, I don't know, honey. When are you boys going to stop tossing me the radio in the bathtub?
And I love when she's taking
so
away the
fact.
Things they shouldn't have. And she, I think it's Texas Ranger again. It says, oh, not my prison shank. But she straightens up the boys. Next thing you know, you see the boys where? They're in church with Lucy. They're in church with Grandma. They're singing in the choir. They got their lives together. And then who shows up? Their mangy old grandpa, Reese Bobby. And Reese Bobby's trying to help his son get his edge back. He's trying to help him where he hasn't been there his whole life. He's now trying to be there for him.
Right.
It's a very interesting interaction because, again, I come back to here's this cultural crossover. The necessity of the fatherly influence in the home is so critically important. God has created the family, in my estimation, to have a mother, to have a father. And when one of those pieces are missing, it's imbalanced. And that was Ricky's life. But through the shenanigans, you know, especially driving with a cougar in the car, that's a great line when he gets in. There's a cougar in the car. I mean, you know, he's driving with a cougar in the car to get his edge back. And he gets that edge back. And he can drive fast again. Fast forward kind of to the end of the movie, you know, now they're going to go back to, he's going to race again. He's going to race at Talladega, kind of going full circle. And his pit crew is able to assemble a car for him. Enter Susan, who has been coaching him to not race for his father, not race for his kids, not race for the fans, but to race for himself, to have this understanding, this self-awareness and self-identity. Great scene in the bar, by the way. We can't talk about it here on Christ Culture and Cinema, but it's hilarious. It's an ode to 80s music and Ricky Bobby. And what happens is all of a sudden, Ricky kind of finds that center. And I love the end of the movie. And I won't, you know, I can't even say we won't spoil it. We know that it ends in a goofy way. And he and Jean Girard are disqualified. But Ricky Bobby beats him to the finish line on foot. But when they're all outside the track and the father says, you know, how did it feel out there today? Something felt good. And he said, well, I certainly didn't race for you. You know, it was just me in the car. I raced for me. And they all get in the car, Susan, Ricky Bobby, Lucy, Reese, and Walker. and Texas Ranger. And they drive off as a family. It's kind of a unique wrap to the movie. I didn't see that coming in this movie, where all of a sudden the incredibly important role of mother and father, there's Ricky Bobby's mother and father in the car. Susan is assuming this kind of motherly role now with Ricky, with Walker and Texas Ranger. You know, Cal and Carly are back there, you know, celebrating Cal's win at the last race. But they're all of a sudden removed from this last scene. The focus in that last scene is this kind of honor your mother and father and things will go well with you. I mean, that's what I saw. What did you see, Michael?
Yeah, well, like I said, it was one of those movies that you like to see things change. You like to see people grow. It's a comedy. You got to have fun with it. It's well done. And this was a movie where it's a redemption story. And somebody going from the high to the low, back to the high. And if you set aside everything else and enjoy Will Ferrell,
and the other thing about this movie, they did a wonderful job of the art. It is so quotable. Anytime my wife and I go to a restaurant, like we're out, we're shopping, we just want to grab a quick, cheap bite to eat. And I'll say, let's go get a fine gourmet meal at Applebee's. You know, I just love what he says. It's a fine gourmet meal. You know, it's just, for Ricky Bobby, it was a gourmet meal. I mean, he's never been to a upscale kind of restaurant. You've got so many quotes in this movie. Shake and bake. If you're not first, you're last. I want to go fast. On and on and on it goes. Brilliant movie, brilliant comedy. But I really do believe it puts the focus on the mother and father in the family. I think it really does. And at the end of that movie, you get a little glimpse of the Bobby family together, which isn't what you were rooting for throughout the movie, but it really makes you feel good that they got there at the end. Having said that, let's get to the question of the day.
Right.
So where are you in your life? Mother, father, are you a mother or a father, or, you know, are your mother and father still living? What were the influences they had upon you? What are the good things that you reflect upon and rejoice in? What are those things that you may struggle with a little bit and go, oh man, I got that from my parents? So whatever it might be, consider it today and give thanks to God for the gift of parenthood. Now, having said all that, we're hoping you're enjoying some of the movies we're doing this season. Consider leaving a rating or a review, but most importantly, share Christ, Culture, and Cinema with others that they may join the movie conversation with us. Do not forget the book, Christ, Culture, and Cinema, How Faith and Film Intersect, that is available on Amazon. Now, next time, Michael, I thought we should go to something old, but something new. Something that was, but something that has been redone. You know, we go into the Wayback Machine with Patrick Swayze, the late, great Patrick Swayze, and he made a little movie that I think every guy loves. I mean, I think we all love the original movie Roadhouse. Well, not for nothing, but Jake Gyllenhaal took it upon himself to remake that classic. And that's the one we're going to do, the 2024 streaming service movie, Roadhouse. Until next time, we will see you at the movies.
Thank you for joining us for Christ, Culture, and Cinema with the Dr. Jeffrey Skopak and his assistant, Michael Popp. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.